Our message today is going to be coming from Psalm 100, and it's a psalm that's filled with a lot of excitement. So I hope, and I've been praying about this psalm when I knew that today was going to be the day that I was going to be in the pulpit, and I just have been praying that that excitement will come out. So please pray for me as I preach today, because I want that excitement to fill this place today. The psalmist that wrote Psalm 100 was passionate about worship and about worshiping our Savior. And he pulls no punches in letting the whole earth know that it's okay to shout to the Lord. And we're going to see that in Psalm 100 today. It's okay to praise the Lord. It's okay to sing to the Lord, because this is who we are as Christians. So before we begin, I want to pray. And I want to pray right now, so please bow with me. Father, we are so grateful for today. We're thankful, Father, for the times that you give us, Father, to worship and adore you. We come here today to worship you. We come here today to praise you. We come here today to honor you. We come here today to pray to you, to glorify you, and to give you, Father, what you rightfully deserve. We ask you, Father, that we can give you all of our heart, not part of it, but our all in all. Admittedly, sometimes we as Christians don't feel like doing this sometimes, so please forgive us for those times that we cannot give you our all in all. But for right now, I pray that we can put our feelings aside. I pray that we can look to Psalm 100 and see what the psalm is teaching us. And it's in Jesus' name that I pray these things. And all of God's people said with a shout, amen. 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 Great. Great job. Love it. Just love it. That's a good start. So last week we had a guest preacher here. His name was Brian McIntyre. And Brian left us last week with a challenge. And that challenge was not to compare ourselves with anybody else. It really ministered to me, because he taught us in John chapter 21 to stay focused, to not take our eyes off Jesus like Peter did. Peter did that three times, as far as the scriptures tell us, and maybe more, probably more, like all of us. He mentioned not to focus on idols and to accept scripture for what it says and don't read anything into it. But as I reflected on that message after he spoke, I thought, how often do we take our eyes off of Jesus? And we spend sometimes more energy shouting and singing to the idols of our life. And often we see people that get so passionate about a play call or a foul in sports, and they'll start screaming, they'll start yelling at the umpire. Oh, it shouldn't have happened that way. And they're only showing their own character trait when they do that. Or when a touchdown or a home run occurs, they become almost uncontrollable. Now, I want to ask you a question this morning. And this is a question that you don't have to answer publicly, obviously. But where is your commitment right now? I don't want to put anybody on the spot, but do you know the Lord? Do you know the Lord in your heart? And I ask that question sometimes because we show our enthusiasm sometimes for our sports teams or other things in our life that become more important than the Lord. And it's the Lord becomes part of our life instead of our all in all. And there's nothing wrong with a passion for sports. Don't get me wrong. I'm not here because I was up last night late watching the Brewers game, and I just love to see them win. Trust me. I mean, there's nothing wrong with enjoying your favorite sports teams. But we have to put our priorities in order. And I think this is what the psalmist is telling us in Psalm 100. Now, I like this quote from Enduring Word Commentary. I go there frequently. I like it because it was pretty simple. It says, most people are not against shouting or enthusiastic outbursts, but they simply believe there is a right or wrong place for such shouting. Sadly, many who think a loud exclamation is fine at a football game, they think it could be a scandal in the church. That's kind of sad, isn't it? That there's no excitement in the church, it seems today, in some churches. Please understand, I'm not here to condemn anybody, and I'm not here to condemn anybody if you cheer on your sports teams or whatever is important in your life, but sometimes we just get more excited than we do about Jesus. And I hope we can get a hearty amen from the congregation on that issue, because sometimes it does take over. So today I want to challenge you about your commitment when it comes to praise and worship. And we need to get fired up for Jesus. So I hope you can get fired up today for Jesus. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Amen. Good. This is great. Not in the flesh, though. And I'm going to give you a disclaimer here. It's not in the flesh. Not trying to get in a special mood, but rather relying on the Holy Spirit of God, which dwells in you and dwells in me joyfully. That's the key, joyfully, to sing a new song and worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords with enthusiasm. That's what it is. Joyful. It's enthusiasm. It's not a feeling. It comes from wells from within, from the Holy Spirit. That's what we need to call upon when we have the Holy Spirit of God residing in us. We're going to see that the psalmist gives us specifics when it comes to worship and praise. And the results that we get from praise is victory. Victory over what? Victory over sin. Victory over depression. Victory over anxiety. Victory over worry. Victory over doubt. Victory over every circumstance, not some, but every circumstance. When you praise the Lord, the enemy scatters. I'm not advocating a prosperity message here at all in our own flesh. I am not. I am advocating giving the praise and the worship and the glory to God. And I'm advocating giving the Lord what He deserves. He deserves it. He deserves our praise. Amen?
Amen.
Yes. Because He's our Savior. He saved us from our sin. How glorious is that? How wonderful is that? We cannot come to the Lord in complacency. We have to come with a spirit of excitement and enthusiasm. So I want to start today with Psalm 47. Because it's a great psalm to get us started. It says here, clap your hands, all you peoples. Shout to God with a voice of joy. For the Lord Most High is to be feared, a great king over all the earth. He subdues peoples under us and nations under our feet. He chooses our inheritance for us and the pride of Jacob, whom he loves, Selah. Now, when we go to verse 5, I'm going to ask Keith to come up here, please. Yes. We practice this, Keith.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, you'll see Keith is holding something. It's called a shofar.
Shofar,
show
good.
I want us together to stand, and we're just going to read verse 5 together as a congregation. In reverence to God, let's read it together. God has ascended with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Thank you. You may be seated. That's good. We're going to stop right there because I want Keith to play the shofar. The shofar was used to give shout to the Lord. And we're going to talk a little bit more about how the shofar was used in praise and worship in the temple. But Keith, give us the sound of the shofar. Excellent. Thank you very much. That was beautiful. We're going to come back to that in just a minute, but let's finish up with Psalm 47. And I want you to notice as we read Psalm 47 and finishing off, there's five times here the psalmist uses sing praises. Verse 6, sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with a psalm of wisdom. God reigns over the nations. God sits on his holy throne. The princes of the people have assembled as the people of the God of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong to God. He is highly exalted. Isn't that beautiful? He says, sing praises five times. Now, the shofar was typically used in temple worship. And in 2 Chronicles, and you can follow this in your bulletin, Second Chronicles 15:14 talks about singing praises and shouting out to the Lord. Psalm 47:6, which we just read. Psalm 89:16, and I'll read that one to you. I have that right here. It says, "In your name they rejoice all day long, and in your righteousness they are exalted." And finally, in Psalm 150, verse 5, it talks about singing praises and shouting to the Lord. So during that time when we see there's much emphasis on making noise to the Lord. So if we know that if we praise God and we praise the Lord, that when we shout to the Lord or praise the Lord through the shofar, the enemy scatters. That is scriptural. That is so scriptural. And so if you're under attack, even right now, even today, if you're under attack with oppression or something's bothering you, give praise to God. You may not feel like it, and that's not what we're talking about here. We're not talking about feeling. We're talking about the Holy Spirit moving within you to give praise to God so the enemy scatters. And it says it right here in Psalm 68:1, "Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered, and let those who flee from him," "and let those who hate him flee before him." So our victory over oppression is absolutely predicated on this principle. And it's so scriptural. When you go through the Psalms and you go through other areas of the Bible, it will come out so vividly to you. So I want to encourage you this morning with this message. We are living in unprecedented times, and we need to have the answers. And our answers, when trials come, that we need to have the answers. So our message today is shout to the Lord. And it's Psalm 100. It's only five verses. And that's why we did a lot of introduction here to get you excited about Psalm 100. It's a shout of praise, and I don't want to come across today at all to be flippant here. It is not out of the flesh. This is totally 100% through the Scripture, through the Holy Spirit. I want to rally us this morning to give the Lord what He is due, and that's just the praise. He wants our praise. He's worthy. He's worthy of praise, so why don't we give it to Him? And I think you're going to find this interesting, because when we look at this a little bit more in detail, and we read some of the scripture verses together, we're going to learn something here, I think, that might be a good takeaway for you this morning. So I want us to stand again, if we can, if you can stand. And we're just going to read the first verse to Psalm 100. It's a short one. And I have it up there in the New American Standard first, and then I have the Hebrew translation for the same verse, the second one, and I want us all to read it together. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Now let's read it in the Hebrew translation. Raise a shout for Yahweh. Interesting. Thank you. You may be seated. So I started this morning by asking you about your commitment. Where is your commitment to the Lord? And I want to look at the military as an example. Now, I was just down at Fort Leonard Wood watching our granddaughter graduate military police school about a month ago. And I had a good chance to spend some time on the base and really had a good chance to see the transition from these young people that went into the service before and after their basic training. So when recruits sign up and they go into the military, they typically don't have a strong commitment to serve our country when they go in. Any of you that have served in the military, you might be able to relate to that. When you were young and you were going into the military, what am I doing? You go in there and you are a changed person when you get out of the basic training, right? Right? And everybody else that's been in the military? You've seen the before and after pictures of these recruits when they go in. Sometimes they got long hair, they get shaved, and they come out. They're just different. And they become soldiers after 10 weeks. And then they work as a team. And they follow the chain of command. They're committed. They're committed soldiers to protect our country. Their commitment to the mission is critical. Maybe you've heard that before in a military term, mission critical. And it can have tremendous life or death consequences if they make the wrong decision. Our mission as soldiers for Christ is critical. We are in a mission critical situation. And it has to be taken seriously. So to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, and all of your mind, and then to love your neighbor as yourself. This is what Christ has told us to do, is to serve people and to show our love for Him to others. So the word shout in Hebrew is ruah. Can we all say that? Ruah. Ruah. Kind of exciting, isn't it? It's Hebrew for shout. And it's a verb, and the pronunciation is R-O-O-A-H. Ruah. And it means in the King James Version, blow an alarm, make a joyful noise, and triumph. And in the NASB, in the New American Standard, it is a battle cry. Cry out loud. That's what it means. The next word I want to talk to you about in Hebrew is teruah. Teruah is a noun, and it means joyful shout. So it sounds like ruah, but it's teruah. Now, last month we had a celebration, and it was called Rosh Hashanah. It's essentially a New Year celebration. It takes place in the seventh month of the biblical calendar. And although the phrase Rosh Hashanah is not mentioned in the Bible, it springs from the biblical feast Yom Teruah. There's that word again, meaning day of shouting. Numbers 29:1 tells us, now in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall also have a holy convocation. You shall do no laborious work. It will be to you a day for blowing trumpets, a day for shouting Yom Teruah. It's beautiful. There's a lot to that blowing of the shofar. You can do some study on that on your own. But this is the interesting part as we look back to the military. The military uses interesting terms, and I'm sure you heard it, but the Army uses hooah, hooah. Anybody in the Army? Hooah. That's what they do. They march and they yell hooah. It means heard, understood, and acknowledged. And then in the Marines, it's hoorah, hoorah, a phrase that's used for determination and satisfaction. And then in the Air Force, it's... Did I miss the Marines, Dwayne? I did. I'm not leaving you out. Okay, it's hooyah. Hooyah is the U.S. Navy and the U.S. Coast Guard. So then in Air Force, it's hooah, H-U-H-A. H-U-A, I should say, Air Force. So why can't we have our battle call ruah? Okay? So it's just interesting that those words are so close in nature, and they all mean a battle cry. So we see right here in the first verse that we are to shout joyfully. And the psalmist tells us that the whole earth should do this. That's us. That's not some people. He says the whole earth should shout joyfully to the Lord. So don't be timid and shout with excitement and praise the Lord. Now, years ago, when we used to attend another church, when I was a new believer, we had a fairly large congregation, and there was a little old gentleman that sat in the middle of the congregation. Pastor would come up, he would give his message, and every once in a while, we'd sit in the back of the church when we came there, because we didn't know anybody, and we were sitting back there, and as soon as Pastor would start talking or saying something, this little old gentleman would say, "Amen! Amen!" Or he would shout, "Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord!" I mean, it was almost to the point where you'd think it might have been disruptive. But after a while, and this man was in that church for many, many years, after a while, everyone came to expect what we called Amen Al, to say, "Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord. He was the only one that did it. And it encouraged the entire congregation. It was so beautiful. And people that came to visit said, wow, that is really interesting. When Al, he had outlived three wives, he outlived three children, and he lived till the ripe old age of 93. And we kind of adopted him and took care of him as the years went by. So I had a chance before he got to the point where he couldn't be mobile. We would go and visit nursing homes. We would visit the widows and the widowers. And every time this man would go in a grocery store and buy the groceries for these widows or widowers, he would have Bible tracts in his pocket. He'd pass them out, and he would say, "Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord!" And people just came to love the guy. And his enthusiasm and his Barnabas spirit just rubbed off on everybody. Now, some of us are not like that. But when you're in the privacy of your own car, your heart, your in your house, if you feel comfortable, shout out to the Lord. Give him praise. You know, I just encourage you to do that. So most of us know the story of Joshua walking around the wall at Jericho. And right after the Exodus, Joshua was chosen to lead the Israelites into the Promised Land. And he has to take Jericho first after crossing the Jordan River. Some say that the walls of Jericho were so fortified it was impossible to penetrate the fortified walls because of the stone and earth behind the wall. Jericho was fortified by a double ring of thick stone walls, and the lower retaining wall was said to have been 12 to 15 feet tall and was made of 6 feet of stone and brick. An additional 20 to 25 feet of a mud wall, 6 feet thick, was built on top of that. So it was almost impossible to get through. But I want you to look at this and see how the Lord commanded them to make noise and shout for what? For the victory before the walls came down. Let's read it. Now Jericho was tightly shut because of the sons of Israel. No one went out, no one came in. But the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have handed Jericho over to you with its king and the valiant warriors. And you shall march around the city, all the men of war circling the city once. You shall do for 6 days. Also 7 priests shall carry 7 trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. Then on the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall be that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city will fall down flat, and people shall go up, everyone straight ahead." So there it is, right there, the sound of victory with the shofar, and the power of the Lord, and the strength of the Lord. So what walls are you facing today? Do you have your Jericho walls? Do you think the Lord can break those down? I know He can. How thick are your walls? He can do it, because He did it at Jericho and He can do it today. The God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So we give Him the praise because He deserves it, for He is worthy of all praise and honor. And I hope you're getting the message today so far that we have only gone through the first verse. We have 4 more to go. But I want to look at the second verse. It says, "Serve the Lord with gladness and come before Him with joyful singing." And if we just step back to Psalm 98:1, it says, "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for He has done, that's past tense, wonderful things." How many wonderful things has Jesus done for you? Have you ever written them down on a piece of paper, ever thought about them? It's endless. I can't even count the blessings that Jesus has done for me. I am so grateful. He continues to bless and bless and bless and bless more. Even when we don't even know He's blessing us, He blesses us. And this is why we serve Him with gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness. Because He blesses us. Because He's with us. He's going through our trials with us. Because God is good. He's good all the time. And then He says, sing a joyful song. And we're going to conclude our worship today with Shout to the Lord. which is a great song. If you've never sung it, I think you'll be blessed by it. And we're going to be doing exactly what the psalmist tells us to do with our last song today. But I want to look at verse 3 now. It says, "Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." Listen to it in the translation from Hebrew. This is beautiful. "Know that Yahweh himself is Elohim. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves." He takes us back to Genesis 1:1 right here. He says that Elohim created the heavens and the earth. El means plural. The psalmist in verse 3 takes us back to Genesis to remind us that we did not have anything to do with our own existence. It's all about the creation of that God did for us. We have a mighty God. There's evidence in all of his creation. All you have to do is look around to see his evidence of creation. And if you just look at the human cell, for an example, there's a picture of a human cell I have up there. The human body is comprised of trillions of cells. They provide structure for the body. They take in nutrients from food. They convert those nutrients into energy, and they carry out specialized functions. And the cells also contain the body's hereditary material and can make copies of themselves. If that doesn't prove the existence of God, our Creator, I don't know what does, just the human cell. Psalm 3 continues that we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. In Isaiah 40, verse 11, it is prophesied about this. "Like a shepherd, he will tend his flock. In his arm, he will gather the lambs and carry them in his bosom. He will gently lead the nursing ewes." Now, in Barnes' commentary of the Bible, it says this, that he shall gather the lambs with his arm. This is the most beautiful expression denoting the care of God the Savior for the feeblest and weakest of his people and for the young and feeble in years and piety. A similar thing is often done by a shepherd. The tender lamb, unable to keep up with the flock, becomes weary and exhausted, and the shepherd naturally takes it in his arms and carries it. Do you see yourself as a tender sheep? Unable to stand on your own. I hope you do. Because this is what the great shepherd wants for you and me. He wants us to be carried by him. He wants to show you the truth, the way, and the life. But through his word and through his spirit, if you've never come to that place in your life where you know this, then today's your time. Today, make that decision, because it's the best decision you'll ever make in your whole life. Turn your heart over to Jesus. Turn from your sin. Give your sins to him. Let him break down those walls, like he did at Jericho, and shout to him. Shout to him for the deliverance from yourself, from your own self, and trust him by faith. I can assure you by the authority of the living God that it will be the best decision of your entire life if you make that decision. And if you have, or you are making that decision right now in the privacy of your own heart, please, please, please tell someone. Because in Romans 10:9-10, it says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. With the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. So let's finish our verse today. Verses 4 to 5 in Psalm 100. "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good, his loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness to all generations. Going back to Barnes' commentary, he says, get a picture here. Get a picture of the tabernacle or the temple. You see, that was a holy place. And when we go into his presence for prayer and worship, it's a special time. It's a holy time. Notice that the worshipers of old stayed in the courts surrounding the tabernacle, because the temple or the tabernacle was a place that only the high priest could enter. But today, because of Jesus, we can go directly to him and pray to the Father through Jesus. Why can we do that? There's only one reason why. It's because of his blood. The atoning sacrifice on that cross at Calvary, that is why. And when Jesus hung on that cross, he said, it is finished. So he now tabernacles is among us. So let's give him a shout of praise today. Let's praise the Lord. Be encouraged today through this message that the psalmist has given us in Psalm 100. Don't be timid in your spirit. Shout out to God with praise. Let the walls come down. Take the victory that he has given to you, because he's worthy of all praise. So let's pray. Father, we are so grateful. I can't tell you how grateful I am to you, Lord. It's because of your word, Lord. It's because of your word that touches our soul, that touches our spirit, Lord, that gives us your presence. And Father, I pray for anyone in this room today that is struggling. You might be a believer here today, and you're struggling. And you're asking, Lord, I've got so many walls around my life, I don't know what I'm going to do. Give them the shout of praise and watch those walls come down. Father, I pray for anyone that, in the sound of my voice, that doesn't know you today, Lord. May today be the day of salvation for someone, Lord. I cry out to you, Lord, because you want all to be saved, not some, all. Today, Lord, is a day of salvation. So I am praying, Lord, right now, that you will touch someone right now. And Lord, we just thank you for our daily bread. We are so grateful, Lord, that we can serve you with gladness and shout joyfully to you, Lord. So praise be to God. Blessed be the God, the Father, and your Son, Jesus Christ. We love you, we praise you, we honor you. And we ask you now, Father, to help us as we listen to our last song, Shout to the Lord, that we can sing in our heart with joy and shout to the Lord with praise. In Jesus' name, amen.